From Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Tuesday, November 26th. Coming up, we'll listen to a conversation with Daniel Romanchuk about his journey to becoming an elite wheelchair racer. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. Officials in Urbana are taking steps that could bring a grocery store to the city's north end. Last night, the city council allocated $800,000 to tackle a food desert in Ward 3. That money would support an application for the Illinois Grocery Initiative. The program could provide more than $2 million to expand access to fresh produce. City Council member Mary Alice Wu said she's grateful for the efforts to address a long-standing issue in Northwest Urbana.
I really appreciate all the hard work that so many people have done over the years as they've tried to bring a grocery store. So it's really nice to be able to see something, you know, hopefully that we can build soon.
Decisions for the state grant program are expected to be announced next summer. If the Urbana application is successful, officials say they're open to providing city-owned land for their new store. Ethanol producers have been setting production records this year. Since 2010, there have been 10 times when the U.S. has produced more than 1.1 million gallons of ethanol in a week. And half of those record-setting production weeks happened this year. University of Missouri agricultural economist Ben Brown says that includes three consecutive weeks this month.
And so that's the type of base you want to see. If you're a corn producer or an ethanol producer, you're sitting out there saying, we want our traditional ethanol markets to be strong, and they certainly have been.
The record-setting pace of ethanol production has been supporting the corn prices in Illinois and across the country. But Brown tells IPM's Closing Market Report he does not expect it to last. That's because ethanol production is higher during the fall harvest when corn is most available. Brown says that pace is likely to fade heading into the winter holidays. A group of five statewide education organizations released a blueprint for the future of Illinois education. It's called Vision 2030. Peter Medlin has the details.
The broad plan revolves around three pillars: future-focused learning, shared accountability, and predictable funding. Gary Tipsord is with the state's regional superintendent group, and he says the school code has more than doubled since 2000, but with more responsibilities, schools need flexibility to keep pace with a rapidly changing world.
How do we get more agility in the system of public education so that we can better meet the needs of the students, the economy, the opportunity base that they may have?
That could be learning flexibility, like expanding college and career exploration opportunities, financial flexibility for districts to use funding to address their specific needs, or even license flexibility to attract new teachers. There's no concrete timeline for any of the policy recommendations, but several bills are already in the works for the upcoming legislative session. I'm Peter Medlin.
Deer season is from October to January, but drivers should be on high alert this week. Jess Savitt reports on the dangers of driving during deer mating season.
Last year, there were almost 15,000 crashes involving deer in Illinois. More than 95% of the crashes caused damage to cars and property, and 7 even resulted in deaths. There are a few things to keep in mind when driving this season. Drivers should brake and honk their horn when they see a deer instead of swerving into another lane. Crashing into another car is more common than hitting the animal itself. AAA spokeswoman Molly Hart says that making noise to scare a deer in your path is one of the best ways to stay safe.
We at AAA rarely recommend anyone to blast their horn because that might be interpreted as aggressive driving. But during deer season, if you see the one, blast your horn.
Hart also says that drivers should be extra cautious during dawn and dusk when deer are most active. I'm Jess Savage.
Still to come, we'll listen to a conversation with Daniel Romanchuk about his journey to becoming an elite wheelchair racer. That story is coming up next on 217 Today. But first, here's meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your forecast.
I'm meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your IPM News forecast for Champaign-Urbana. Your forecast for today: partly cloudy with a high of 42 degrees and a northwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low of 33 degrees, southeast wind 5 miles per hour. Tomorrow, cloudy with rain likely, possibly mixing with snow at times at a high of 43 degrees, southeast wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, cloudy with light rain or snow likely and a low of 30 degrees, a northwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. And for Thursday and Thanksgiving Day, mostly sunny with a high of 39 degrees and a northwest wind 10 miles per hour.
Next time on the 21st Show, many Americans get their information on politics not from the news, but from social media or even friends, family, and neighbors. What does that mean for our democracy? We'll talk about it with Taylor Carlson, who tries to answer just that question in her new book, Through the Grapevine. I'm Brian Mackey, and that's next time on the 21st Show. Join us.
You're listening to 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. This year's New York City Marathon drew roughly 50,000 racers from 148 countries. The winner of the men's wheelchair race is from Champaign. Daniel Romanchuk trains with the University of Illinois' wheelchair racing program. IPM student newsroom's Diana Jung spoke with Romanchuk about his journey to becoming an elite wheelchair racer.
You're born with spina bifida, which prevents you from walking, but that didn't stop you from pursuing sports and chasing your dreams. How and when did you realize that sports are something you want to focus on in your life?
So yeah, I was born with spina bifida, and actually I did walk actually for the first few years of my life up until around 5 years old. At that point, I made the decision that walking, you know, the whole setup that I had to use with braces and crutches, everything was not worth it. And so I actually told my parents, I want to use the wheelchair. My journey in sports started a few years before that. At 2 years old, I joined the Bennett Blazers Physically Adaptive Sports Program out of Baltimore, Maryland. So I was swimming at three. I started wheelchair racing and basketball at four, sled hockey, and you know, a number of other sports, all the way through up until I basically got aged out of the program, kind of college.
What inspired you to get into wheelchair racing, and what drives you to remain as a competitive athlete in the sport?
I think one of the draws I would say at first was really just the simplicity of it. Get from point A to point B as fast as you can. I also enjoyed just pushing myself and seeing how far can I go and how fast can I go. And so I'd say that's kind of the initial draw of it. And then, now I'm a professional athlete full time, and I'm able to support myself, just with racing.
You've got multiple world record, and you've also brought home with numerous medals from various races. What does it take to be an athlete at your level? What is your training schedule like?
Yeah. So I'm a part of the University of Illinois wheelchair racing team, and so there's a big group of us here. We all train 6 days a week, 1 to 2 times a day, and each session is maybe an hour to an hour and a half long. So at this point in the season, we're going we're all in indoors, and so we're on rollers, which are basically our version of a treadmill. And so you can kind of think of the back wheels of the racing chair are kind of over a shrunken 55-gallon drum. The rest of the chair is strapped down, so it's not going to go anywhere. And so we'll be on those throughout the winter and doing a little bit of weights as well, usually around, a couple times a week, something like that. And during the spring and the fall, those are our marathon times. And so we'll be going out on the roads, getting lots of miles in, getting ready for the marathons. And then during the summer is kind of the track season. And so we'll kind of decrease the mileage a little bit and kind of throw in a little bit more variation in speed and stuff like that.
So you're born in Maryland, right?
Yep.
How did you end up training in Champaign, Illinois?
So back in the fall of 2014, my mom asked me if I wanted to try and make the Rio Paralympic Games and for track. And yeah, after giving it some thought, I said, you know what, I want to try and go for it. We eventually got into contact with Adam Bleakney, the head coach out here at the University of Illinois wheelchair racing team, and He allowed me to come out and train, and spent probably around a week every month training out here. I'd drive out. My mom and I would drive out here, stay in a hotel, drive home. Eventually, that basically just changed into us relocating. My parents have been, you know, really instrumental in getting me to where I am, especially my mom. She went to medical school. You know, she knew about spina bifida and all of the different stuff that that comes with and how to handle that. And so she was able to kind of just teach me how to handle various things. And, you know, she has been around the world with me. Just, you know, I just wouldn't be here without her.
That's wheelchair racer Daniel Romanchuk speaking with IPM Student Newsroom's Diana Jung. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Stephanie Mosqueda. Reporting today contributed by Annalika Ochuba, Todd Gleason, Peter Medlin, Jess Savage, and Diana Jung. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.